Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill.
Dribble handoff to Murray. He passes back to Sabonis. Down the lane, throws to the wing. Ellis is there and hits another three.
Now everybody's chiming in with a three for the Kings.
They have four players in double figures, four starters in double figures. Barnes, the only one that he's not, and he has eight. Got it on the left side to Ellis. Skip ball over to Lyles. Corner, Murray, three, got it. Another wide open three.
Boy, when they need a bucket, he's been providing.
He got them off to a great start. He's got 29 right now. Ellis to Barnes, wide open three. Knocks that down. And they're just dicing up the Warrior defense right now. They were ready for the Warriors to double Fox.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Tim Roy on the call, Tom Tobert on the call, and they were lighting the beam all night long up in Sacramento, the Delco District. They blow out the Golden State Warriors, 118-94. They were a plus 24 for the three-point line, going 18-39. The Warriors just 10-32 as Keon Ellis, Keegan Murray. They all did a phenomenal job on defending and containing Stephen Curry, limiting him to 7 three-point attempts. Klay Thompson goes scoreless, 0-10 from the floor. What could be his last game ever as a member of the Golden State Warriors? And the starters got outscored 104-48 last night in Sacramento. And abruptly comes the end of the season for the Golden State Warriors in the 9-10 game. They would have had to win a game just to get into the playoffs again on Friday. I don't know if they could have done that. But this season comes to an end abruptly. And we're asking everybody to describe the regular season the other day with one word. And I think the consensus was disappointing, frustrating. This was a disappointing season. It's one of the more disappointing seasons in the last 30 years for the Golden State Warriors. It really is. It's one of the most disappointing seasons to me in the Bay Area in the last 30 years. And you put all the teams baked into it, the A's, the Giants, the Niners, the Raiders, the Sharks, whoever. This was a massive, massive disappointment when you look at the payroll, when you look at the roster, when you hear the chatter. Ain't even making out to play a tournament. The Warriors, for the first time since Steph, Klay, and Draymond have all been healthy, are not going to be involved in a best-of-seven series. Unbelievable. Un-freaking-believable.
You know, like, when it was the end of the Harbaugh era, that was really difficult to swallow. I think for a lot of people, really difficult to swallow. But you could feel the team transitioning as guys were retiring. The quarterback was taking a big step back. The coach was leaving. Like, there's a huge culture shift going on. Like, there was like a variety of things.
Well, that last year with Harbaugh was just, yeah, it was terrible. But all the injuries, everything, but we knew it was the end.
We did know it was the end, and I think football is just different because you can kind of reload quickly, or at least you think you can reload quickly, even though teams have been bad for 30 years. And then I look at like the San Francisco Giants, like when it was over, people were still in denial. Like 2017, they were terrible. And then we're like, oh, they still got a chance. 2018, 2019, oh, we're going to make some signings. And it was like, it didn't really signal the end until you allowed Bumgarner to leave and Bruce Bochy to leave and then brought in new management. Like, that took a while. And even then, there were still people, like, you know, holding out hope. But the COVID year happened. And so, anyway, this does feel very different. And the reason it feels very different, Steph still feels greater than all of those guys on all those other teams.
Yeah.
And I think one player in basketball means infinitely more than one player in football and then one player in baseball. And so this does feel like a unique situation. And he feels like a unicorn. Not saying that he's going to be this version of Steph Curry forever, but he's still closer to the Steph Curry that we all love and appreciate than he is some also-ran player.
He's also closer, but boy, these numbers... These are numbers, and I know his impact is greater than numbers because of the gravity. And when he's on the floor, you got to pay attention to him. He's going to get doubled. He's going to get trapped. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to do everything they can to take the ball out of his hands. But he did shoot poorly post All-Star break. You know, the 21 games before he got the rest against Utah. Remember Steve Kerr had to rest him after Dallas games. Like, dude, he's tired. Well, up until that point, he was averaging 22 a game post All-Star break. Those are still good numbers. Those are not the numbers that we're accustomed to. Steph set a standard that was far greater than anything we've ever seen in a Warriors uniform. 22.7 points a game on this team just isn't good enough for Stephen Curry. It isn't. I hate saying that. I feel disgusting saying that, but it's on this team with this roster, Steph Curry needed to average closer to 28 as opposed to 22.7. And then when you think about the efficiency, Steph Curry has been known to be a 50-40-90 guy. 50% from the floor, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. Well, post-All-Star break before that rest, and he played three games, so I'll add the three games in just a second, but before the final three games of the regular season, Steph Curry is shooting 41% from the floor. Again, this is a 50-40-90 guy. Shot 41% from the floor and 36% from three. So he wore down. And you know, if you add in the three games and 24 games post All-Star break, Shasky, 42% from the floor. 42. And just 38% from three. Klay Thompson's efficiency was better than Steph's in the post All-Star break. And that can't happen. That can't be the case if this team wants to get deep into the playoffs, which they didn't do. But he averaged just 23 games, Shasky.
I know it wasn't good. I mean, there's no denying, but I mean,
not on the good, list but it'd be great.
I mean, but Bonte, on the list of things that I'm worried about, like, Steph is very low.
It's low, but basically what I'm trying to explain here is that he got older in front of our very eyes. He's not the same player. Obviously, he's not going to be the same player. Yeah. He's 36 years old. I get that. But in order for this team to be great with this current construction of the roster, and we'll see if they make changes. We'll see if they make changes. Because they're talking last night, Curry and Draymond talking about bringing Klay Thompson back. So if you do that, my expectations are going to be a little lower because this core is older.
Yeah,
but 23 points per game on this team is not good enough.
See, the way I would view it is very different. The way I would view it is, I say 71% of the salary cap was going to guys that did not even play close to their potential. 71%. Because to me, this is about finances, right? Like,
well,
this
Curry
year,
gets paid 50.
What?
Curry gets paid $50
million. Yeah, I know he does, and he's 38% of a normal salary cap.
And so when
but,
I see
but,
those numbers,
71% of a normal cap is going to Clay, Chris, Paul, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green. And
no
those
doubt.
Guys did not play.
No doubt.
71%.
I'm not saying Steph Curry is the biggest worry. I'm not saying that. It's not even remotely close to what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is he took a step back. Post All-Star break, he was not the Steph we're accustomed to. He got wore down. He got worn out as a 36-year-old on this roster.
When you watch the stills of last night, and he's coming off of the you know, getting the ball at the top of the key, there's one guy guarding him, there's a second guy coming over to double him, and there's a third guy not defending the guy in the corner. You got to have players around you.
Exactly. You do have to have players around you, which is what I would say. Clay needs players around him. Steph needs players around him. And last year, game 7, he dropped to 50. For some reason, Mike Brown didn't employ that game plan. He did it the first six games where the Warriors were getting into their offense with 15, 14 seconds left by putting ball pressure on Steph Curry. Now we're seeing teams come in, whether it's Jared Vanderbilt, whether it's, I don't know, Keegan Murray, whether it's Keon Ellis, whether it's Trey Murphy III, whether it's Herb Jones. All these teams are throwing longer defenders on Steph Curry. And as he gets older, he doesn't have the same explosiveness. So what I saw over the last 24 games is like, damn, Steph being as good as he is still not good enough for this team to be more than a 10th place team.
Yeah.
So, yes, he needs major help.
Yeah.
But also, can we expect to see the Steph Curry that we saw 2 years ago?
Even if he ticks down a little, but you have to improve the roster around him.
I agree.
That's the fountain of youth.
How much
the fountain
do you have
of youth is the roster around him.
How much do you have to improve this roster?
Because those numbers are not good. Clearly.
Why are you yelling?
You're asking me, and I'm like, I've been screaming to the high heavens for like 2 years, like, dramatically. They need dramatic moves. Like, dramatic.
Honestly, going into last season. Into last season.
Yeah.
Before the punch.
Okay.
Did you think this team needed dramatic changes?
I thought they completely exceeded my expectations in 2022. Yes.
Because I don't remember that conversation. Well, I remember the conversation with Warrior fans being, boy, you got Wiseman healthy. You got Kuminga going into the second year. You got Moses Moody going into the second year. There is a ton of optimism. A ton of optimism with this basketball team.
Maybe. But then I watched them play for a year, and last year I was very pessimistic. Last year, and then this year, you know,
it was after the punch, right?
Well, it's not just the punch. They didn't play well, too.
They didn't play well.
Like,
why?
The punch is a big... I'm not denying the punch. Like, whoa, we're going to talk about the punch. I mean, 50 different books and 30 for 30s and all those different things about the... Like, the punch is one element. It's one element. Also, like, what the heck happened with Andrew Wiggins?
That is big time.
Psychologically, what has happened with Klay Thompson?
And did we think...
Poole?
But did we think coming off that championship... That boy, Andrew Wiggins is coming back for a second season,
and
coming off that. And you know what?
His
first 20 games, and he suffered that right adductor strain. I know it's just 20, and we need the full consistency. Well, Andrew Wiggins overall the last 2 years, not good enough. Not even close to being good enough. I'm not denying that whatsoever. But we don't know what happened in his personal life.
Yeah, but he's not there.
You know, so. But I can't. He's not there.
No, but I'm not debating.
You know
I'm not
saying?
Debating what's like happened. I'm just saying he's not there.
It is what it is. They're going to navigate through that. Freaking, before he suffered that injury, he was the 2022 Wings that we saw in the playoffs. We're like, wow, this guy really is taking a step. And then right adductor strain happened, and from there it was a lost season. But I don't remember a lot of people saying, boy, they need to have dramatic changes. A lot of people coming off that championship felt really good about this roster, felt tremendous about this roster. Let's go to...
But things change very quickly.
Well, it does.
Just overall. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this. So your biggest takeaway of this season, and maybe I missed it.
My biggest takeaway?
Was Steph wasn't good enough?
No. What the hell made you say that?
Because we were starting
the
there.
What?
Because my biggest takeaway is the entire roster needs to be completely reset.
What would make you ask that question?
Well, we spent a lot of time breaking down Steph Curry.
Well, we're just breaking him down and saying he wasn't as great as we're accustomed to seeing.
And to me, that's a byproduct of the roster.
That's not the number one issue. That's not my biggest takeaway.
So what is the number one issue?
My biggest takeaway is this roster's not good enough.
Okay.
There needs to be major changes.
That's where I'm at.
How many times I got to repeat myself? Like, Steph Curry, what? Mike in Oakland, what's happening? You're on the roast. Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. I went to this game for my birthday last night, and I was bad as hell. Trust me, I was bad. And the Warriors, I'm using a Western term, they were dry gulch. And what that means, they were ambushed. The Warriors was not ready, man. These guys was laying in the woods. They were ready for them. The Warriors had a single shot, and these guys had repeated rifles. It was just no way they were going to win. The Warriors were old. They were slow. They were mentally checked out, man. I mean, I've never seen them that unable to get their heads into the game. It's just been a bad season. This whole season was very inconsistent. And they didn't deserve to go any further than they did just Agreed. Because of not getting yourselves together the whole season.
Yep.
That's my take, and I thank you, fellas. Appreciate you.
Anytime, Mike. Yeah, they weren't able to get their stuff. No consistency whatsoever. No consistency with a lineup. No consistency with play. Consistent play, turnovers, points off. It's appropriate that their season ended last night.
I think it's the only way. Like, had they won some games and they get into the first round and they do certain things, like, we would have been caught up in fool's gold again. There was a part of me was like, hey, had they lost to the Kings last year, maybe we viewed the offseason completely different. And I was saying in real time, hey, you did go to game 7, and it took a historic Steph Curry performance to be able to get past the Kings. Maybe you look at the whole season differently if you lose in that first round to the Kings. They didn't. They went on. They lost to the Lakers. And there were a lot of people saying, well, they were very close to getting to the Western Conference Finals, which is factually correct. But also, like, I zoomed out, and I'm just looking at, like, did they really play great basketball last year?
No, they didn't. They won 11 road games. They won 11 road games last year. They had their longest winning streak was 5 games. But you gave them the benefit of the doubt because they had yet to lose a Western Conference series, a best-of-7 series. They may have lost a play-in game, but they had yet to lose a series in the Western Conference under Steve Kerr. And so when you do think about that Lakers series, and there was mismatches all over the place for the Lakers. I mean, the Warriors are too slow for them, too small for them. But then Lonnie Walker did happen. Those things happen in the playoffs. Guys have like that.
I mean, games like that. There's Rocket fans that remember Ian Clark for what he did to them.
I mean, Patrick McCall had a great fourth quarter game 5 in the NBA Finals of 2017. Those things happen.
And then Patrick McCall won a ring with the Toronto Raptors.
But I mean, I didn't know who Keon Ellis was last night. Like, and I know he's been playing well the last couple weeks, and you said it, but that's kind of that's what happens.
He destroyed the Warriors.
You have those games, so...
But I look at it like, and we could talk about ancillary pieces. To me, the biggest, just the overall, as I zoom out, biggest of the year, all the top dogs outside of Curry really had very suspect seasons at best. And that's being very lightly. Draymond, I mean, a variety of things that he did on and off the floor. And then there's obviously Andrew Wiggins, just statistically his worst season in the NBA since his rookie year.
Not even close.
You know, Klay Thompson up and down, though he finished strong. Chris Paul, this was the game, like, all year you managed him to get to this point, and you go to Pods before him, and I like Pods. We all like Pods. But this is a veteran game, and you wait to go to him in the first and second half?
Did you hear Pods? We didn't even get into it. He said, there's not 5 rookies who are better than me this season.
Well, now's not the time for me to break that down.
That's Andrew Wiggins, 13 points this year, 13 points a game.
You know, like his rookie
year, Andrew Wiggins' rookie year, he averaged 17 points.
Well, there
you
go. I didn't even know his rookie.
He's been a 17 point per game.
Oh, my God.
Andrew Wiggins went from 17, 20, 23, 18, 18, 23, 22, 19, 18 and a half, 17, 17. Now he's down to 13.
Well, a lot of people wanted to go down with the ship, and they wanted to blame all the young guys. JP, Wiggins, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, Pods, TJD, all the young guys are not ready. There's too many young guys. Thank God you had the young guys. You wouldn't even have been in the 9-10 game, number one. And number two, the young guys were the only ones who kept you in that game yesterday. So the reality is the old guys let them down. And we went down with the ship.
Well,
the
funny.
Ship is now in the Titanic. It's at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, it's going to be funny because I wonder if anybody still wants to trade Jonathan Kuminga, which we've heard a lot about over the last 3 weeks. Let's go to Jay in Concord. Jay, what's happening? You're on the roast.
What's going on? Good morning, y'all. I just think, I love Kuminga, but realistically, I think he's at least 3 to 4 years from being a legit number two on a contender, you know what I mean? And I think we really can't depend on Wiggins being the 22 version of himself, whether it's the availability or just inconsistent effort. It just isn't working out like we all hope. So, and Kuminga, I just think, is only 21 years old. And while the potential is there, I really don't think this team can afford to wait for the leap unless it magically happens over the summer. So, I mean, because who knows where Steph will look like by that time. So, I think in a perfect world, we should have traded Kuminga a lot sooner in order to get the most out of these last couple seasons. But
okay, for what? What were you getting for $7 million worth of Jonathan Kuminga? Who were you swapping him with? Like, it's a great thing to say.
I mean,
the reality is, $7 million player, and which of the guys making significant money were you stapling him to?
I mean, I think Chris Paul. realistically, I mean, are we going to keep him after this year? I mean, we packaged pool for him, right?
So the Chris Paul thing is interesting. I'll stop real quick. Chris Paul, and I didn't know this until I read the Bobby Marks article. Chris Paul can only be traded with a pick. You cannot attach a player to him, and he has to be moved for someone making the exact same amount as him because of where the Warriors are with the finances. You're very restricted in how you can move him.
And because the contract is non-guaranteed.
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe somebody like Wiggins. You know, Wiggins hasn't showed really much, you know, to invest in. So I just think, I'm just sad the season's over. I can't wait to see what Mike Dunleavy does with the team, though. Everything's on the table. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
All right. Let's get to thank you. Anytime, Jay. Let's get to... Let's get the BPA. Let's get him out the way. Brian of Palo Alto. Let's get him out the way.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, boys? How you doing? Yeah, I mean, I think it's a core one, right? It's a core staff. Nobody else is on his level or even remotely on his level in importance or priority. And, I think the nostalgia tour is over. Like, you have to pay players for what they can do for you today and moving forward, not on what they did 6 years ago. And so, yeah, I mean, you had a $44 million player who scored 0 points in an elimination game, and that's, you know, you're not going to go anywhere doing that. It's just, you have to pay guys that show up when it counts, and there's no, is there one reliable player on the team outside of Steph? I mean, Steph was triple teamed. Yeah, triple teamed. He had three guys on him, and you're like, yeah, there's no way. Because who are you going to give it to? Wiggins can't make a shot. Clay can't hit, you know, water from a boat. Like, who? Draymond? Yeah, he'll probably turn it over. Like, it's not. Either get him the help he needs or sit down and say, we don't want to get you the help, Steph. Where do you want to go? That's it. I mean, it's pretty binary, but it's Steph. It's about Steph. And to me, it's about Steph versus Kuminga this offseason. You're either committed to Kuminga as the centerpiece of the team, or you move Kuminga, although that CP3 news on his contract is not good,
yeah.
Which would highlight that they should have moved him at midseason. If that's true, then they made a terrible, terrible mistake in keeping him at the trade deadline, because they could have moved him then and attached a guy and attached Kuminga. So that's super unfortunate, but hey, it's on Dunleavy and Lakeup. It's on them, right?
They have to get under BPA. Like, there's this June 30th date, and they have to get under this particular number by June 30th, or if they opt into CP3, trading CP3 is just really difficult in terms of what you can move him for and what you can attach to him.
You got to find a team that has a $30 million player who wants to get moved, and then that team would probably be willing to buy out CP3 or whatnot and allow him to be a free agent. You may have to do that. You may have to do that. This is a crossing. this is not going to be easy, folks. This is not going to be easy trying to rebuild this team. It is not, because the West is just getting better and better and better and better and better. Let's go to Sean real quick in Daly City. Sean, what's up?
Yo, my brother's from another mother, man.
What's up, Sean?
Oh, man. All I can say is, bruh, man. Like, it's so disappointing to see. Was that the real Clay? Did the fake Clay somehow find his way into the arena and get on the floor last night?
That was sad.
No, there was no passion. That's not the same dude that put 37 up on the Kings in a quarter. That's not the dude that was mad that they picked somebody else over him in the draft. And as much as I love Steph, man, look, we're avoiding the obvious, man. He's past his prime. He's a huge contract right now. We need to rip the Band-Aid off, man, like the last caller was kind of alluding to, man. Let's go back to the draft. Let's try to find lightning in a bottle one more time, and let's move on. And to the other point that y'all were making about possibly trying to acquire a guy like Giannis, possibly trying to acquire a guy like Embiid, I'm pretty sure those teams would be willing to get a showpiece like Curry in his last waning years just to fill up the arena. Well, let's go after those guys,
we'll
man.
See.
We got to do something different, man. We got to shake things up. Put one of those premier bigs with a guy like Kerr. Let Kerr build around that big, and let's see what happens, man. I said it last year after everybody was celebrating. They beat Sacramento. Steph Curry put on his Superman cape in Game 7, put up 50. But you can't get that from a guy in his waning twilight years anymore, man. It was evident last night. He was so frustrated. He ripped his jersey off last night, man. It was sickening. Empty calories. Just put up all these ridiculous numbers on them. And it was hard to watch, man. They got to blow this thing up. I hate to do this to the Roasters, man, but Steph Curry is washed.
Oh, no, I'm not ready to do that.
Yeah,
no,
that's
I'm not ready to do that. You know what, though? Shout
out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain for that flushing.
Look it. I know that there's someone's going to come at me and go, Joe, Oklahoma City traded Paul George, and they got back to being the number one seed within 4 years, right, to the Clippers. They got SGA, and they nailed pick, and they made a lot of other moves. Paul George did not mean what Steph Curry means to the Warriors. It mean to the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a very unique. You're in the Kobe, Dirk, you know, Tim Duncan zone.
This is the guy who built the franchise from the ground up. That's what I'm saying. You know,
it's easy to say. I think it's a lot harder to do.
Fonte, make sure you don't miss that break.
Sorry.
Bro. All right, more of your calls coming up. Brought to you by Valley Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Solar.
This summer and going into next year, we'll worry about that later. Right now, I'm just thinking about our guys, how committed they were this year, the connection they had, the effort they put in to put us in a position to at least have a chance. We clearly weren't good enough, but not for a lack of effort or commitment from our guys. They were great all year.
This is Steve Kerr, and you're listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
I wonder how Uncle Charles feels about this loss. Bone Thugs and Harmony Media video. My Uncle Charles.
Gonna miss everybody.
Yeah. Crossroads. The Warriors are at that. They're at a crossroads with this organization. They lose to the Kings last night, 118-94. A lot of us thought it was tough to see them lose to the Kings, but not really surprising when you look at the way the season has played out. Anything was on the table. Yeah, they should have won that game. I mean, I thought they had a better roster than the Kings right now, but the Kings look quicker, more athletic. They were detailed into their game plan. They took Stephen Curry out of the basketball game, and they said anybody but Steph and their starters. I mean, this is just, wow. 104-48. We can talk about the bench production all we want, but the starters are not playing up to their level, up to what their capability.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're not going to win basketball games. 104-48 in which the starters were outscored yesterday up in Sacramento.
If you were just like comparing the two rosters, you know, I mean, there's so many differences. Like, obviously, there's lots of differences. Right. But, like, most people are taking Steph before De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
Most. And we're talking about just for this year, right? And then De'Aaron Fox is probably going number two. I get a lot of people are going to take Sabonis. I'm maybe not you or whatever, but I'm taking Keegan. I think I'm taking Keegan over anybody on the Warriors right
Keegan's
now.
Keegan's nice.
You know,
Keegan's
like nice. That's what I would probably do. So
Keegan's nice.
I look at their roster and I just think they got a lot of really nice players that just outplayed the Warriors yesterday. No,
their pieces fit. They play better. Kevin Herter getting hurt is the best thing to happen to Mike Brown because now all of a sudden you're playing Keon Ellis. 888-957-9570. Yeah, without Malik Monk. So if they can get to the first round, maybe there's an outside chance Malik Monk plays. They got to take on the Pelicans, who they haven't beat all season long. So
I mean, Harrison Barnes outplayed them yesterday.
Harrison Barnes is 5 of 11, 3 of 4. At one point, I was like, boy, he's invisible. Next thing you know, he hits 5 straight. And I'm like, damn, Harrison Barnes is cooking you. Keon Ellis is cooking you. It was a humbling defeat yesterday. Very, very
Lynn was getting
humbling.
Buckets.
But obviously, wouldn't you say the big talking point would be after the game, Klay Thompson possibly played his last game with the Golden State Warriors? What's the biggest talking point for you after that game? Is it Klay? Is it Wiggins? Is it the change that needs to happen with this team?
I mean, clearly there's the Klay contract, which has been kind of hovering over everything. No, the biggest thing for me is like this core. We keep talking the core, the three. I'm down to one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everything else should be on the table. And it might be one or both guys coming back. I don't know how you reimagine the roster around them doing that, but like them being the three top players on the team is not sustainable.
It's not good enough.
Moving forward, that's not how they can be. So I feel like we've done way too much what I call it's like ego, resume, like all the hierarchy within the organization, which is understandable. People have put in the work. But they're currently no longer in that situation. My grandfather started a business, and for the longest time, he was the top dog in the company. All right, this is my grandpa Jack, and at some point, he had to take a step back, being the top dog, and he allowed my uncle to end up taking over. And my uncle really couldn't run things the way he wanted to run things until grandpa stopped doing the day to day. And I feel like I look at the Warriors operation right now, and until we stop coupling the big three as up here, and it's not that way anymore. You can't win with Steph, Klay, and Dre being your best top three dogs no matter what. You need another guy, either better than Curry or alongside Curry.
You may need two guys.
Maybe.
You may need two guys.
Might not even be good enough.
I'm laughing here with the plus-minus stat. I'm not a big plus-minus guy. Check out the plus-minuses for last night. So Trayce Jackson-Davis plays 10 minutes and 35 seconds, and some people could argue that Trayce Jackson in two of the last three games against the Pels and the Kings last night didn't play enough. But he was a minus 10, all right? Minus 10. Klay Thompson didn't score. He was a minus 12. Andrew Wiggins, a minus 25. Steph Curry, minus 21. Draymond Green, minus 22. I think we all agree that Kuminga helped stabilize the game in the second quarter alongside Moody. Kuminga was a minus 22 last night, despite having 16-7. And I know there's more into it. He got off to a rocky start, Jonathan Kuminga, that is. But it just shows you how skewed the plus minus is. Klay Thompson has a better plus minus than Steph Curry last night, and Klay Thompson did hit a shot. The stat's ridiculous.
I don't want to
hear, like, Podziemski had the best plus minus on the team. Does that mean he's the best player? No, it doesn't.
No, but like just the Klay, like, yes, I thought about it being Klay's last game. There's no doubt about it. And he's talked a lot about his contract all year. I don't know whether they really offered
him. I don't know if he's talked about it. People just asked him about it. I don't think he's open.
Well, I mean,
to
start the playoffs last year, whether he did it, an agent, somebody, Wojnarowski.
Somebody leaked it. Somebody leaked it. Somebody put it. Somebody
okay,
got
but
out
like
front
that's
of
how
it,
the playoffs started.
Right? But that's not on Klay for not talking. Somebody
I
got out there.
I didn't
that's
say,
a comfort player.
It's been a talking point, right? And so, like, I understand all that, and it's just
contracts are always talking point.
But
though.
It's been back to back years because it was Klay this year, Draymond the year before.
How long have we been talking about Brandon Ayuk being paid? You know, how many years have we heard that? Oh, you can't keep Debo and Brandon Ayuk together. You got to have to pay one of them. We've been talking about that for 3 years now.
Yeah, but I don't think that's it. I don't think it affected Ayuk's play. I feel like a part of this. Yeah, I do. I believe it affected both Draymond and Klay's play. I do.
Here's Nick Wright. Nick Wright was cooking last night. Apparently on Warrior Spaces, you guys have it in here. I want to hear what Nick Wright has to say. Because I think he was defending Steve Kerr. There's been a lot of vitriol towards Steve Kerr over the last week or two, and people could disagree and say Steve Kerr's not a good coach. Hey, the guy helped you win four championships. Steve Kerr's still, he knows what he's doing. But when you look at the roster, what else is he supposed to do? It's tough to be perfect every single night when you have a bunch of players who are inconsistent. That's been a year. The one constant was Stephen Curry. Everything else was on the table. You didn't know what you were going to get from players on a day-by-day basis. But here's Nick Wright. Here is Nick Wright.
I do not think even close to the most important thing an NBA coach does is manage lineups. I actually think there are probably, especially on great teams, two or three far more important things. And on a team that has one of the most difficult to manage people who's mattered in a real way in NBA history in Draymond Green, and he has only gotten more erratic. Now, if high school debate style, if I were going to argue with myself here, I would say, well, Nick, if he's such a great person manager, why has he not gotten his arms around Draymond Green? And, you know, why is Draymond only seemingly getting worse instead of getting better? That, to me, that the Draymond, you know, escalating the nonsense, to me, is the biggest fair knock on Kerr and the organization.
Draymond Green. We haven't really got into him.
Don't wake the baby. That's what it felt like to me, because I've been in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonte will call me, and I'm like, hey, how are you doing? But go on, Draymond Green.
Yeah,
sorry.
No.
It was just funny. It reminded me of me.
The Draymond Green dynamic and what happened this year, what happened last year. And Draymond said, you know, last year was tough to come to work. Part of the reason why was because of the situation that he helped create with Jordan Poole. That's undeniable. We can't deny it any longer. That fractured the culture. It was bad. So now we come back this year, you bring in CP3, you remove Jordan Poole, and it seemed like the camaraderie was a lot better. It seemed like the chemistry was better, which was reasons why you win more games on the road, right? But he didn't get popped for 17 games. He didn't get ejected out of four other games. And when you think about him being on his team and being one of the more important players, especially defensively, that just can't happen. That just can't happen. So when you finish in 10th place and you try to pick apart all the reasons why you finish in 10th place, whether it was the 13 blown leads that you had, the 13 games in which you've blown a double-digit lead, which is second in the NBA. You're on the list with the Atlanta Hawks, San Antonio Spurs, and all the worst teams in the league. You go back to looking at Draymond Green saying, boy, could have used it in these games. And he said he personally grew and, you know, he got better. And look, all that stuff overshadowed his play. Because you were not available for 17 games, really 18, due to self-inflicted wounds. That hurt this team in back-to-back seasons. So can we count on Draymond to play 70 games next season? I have no idea. I have no clue. Is his three-point shot going to get better? Is he going to be more aggressive offensively? Because they need more offensively on this team, unfortunately.
His negative outweighs the positive. For me,
so?
And it's been that way for a couple years. And I've been labeled as a Draymond hater. That's fine. People could label me that way.
They call me a Clay apologist. You think I give a damn?
That's fine.
You think I give a damn?
Well,
no, I don't.
I'm just giving you my perspective and my analysis based off watching every single night. And watching every single night, I think he's a loose cannon who brings more negative to the table than good. And when I look at the team as a whole, right now, I think that they need an entire cleanse when it comes to this roster and starting fresh. And I think the number one thing, whether it's Clay, Draymond, Andrew Wiggins going back a couple of years, the one thing I'd like to see them do this offseason, everything needs to start fresh. There is too much holding on to the past, just in general. And I get it, because you owe, on a lot of levels, you owe a lot to a lot of these guys. Believe me, I understand it. You're indebted. There are relationships. This is real life. These are real people. But B, this team needs to start fresh. If you were looking at form.
You think they will?
What?
Do you think they will?
No.
As of today. Do you think Clay and Dre are back alongside Stephen Curry?
Probably. And you know what? Then we all better be ready for a pretty close to similar season this year.
Could be worse.
And I'll be real with you. I'd have a very difficult time spending that kind of money.
Well, you know.
I mean, they spent $800 million
I know.
In luxury tax the last seven years.
I know.
That's an insane number.
That is very insane. It's unsustainable.
That's a stadium.
It's unsustainable.
You could build the stadium in Sacramento for the A's or Vegas or wherever the hell they're going for that much money.
When that happens, you have to hit on every pick. You have to hit on every veteran mid-level exception. You have to hit on everything. Around the margins, they were just not perfect.
But like,
you don't have that leeway.
But the other part is like, we could do that. Like, and I know there are people like, well, Moody should have had some of Clay's minutes. Right? Like, people do that, yeah. Right? I would say, even bigger than that, which is the one-for-one swap on terms of minutes, to me, because of the big three, the tolerance level for the other young players was so minimized. Yeah. Forget swapping out the minutes. Just allowing normal growth for a player. Well, we allowed very little leeway.
Well, that was funny because last season, you and I were clamoring for the youngsters to play a lot more. We thought the youngsters, that's my laptop, you thought the youngsters should have played more last year. And they got singled out. They got singled out
unfairly,
all last season.
Unfairly.
Starting with Jordan Poole, then James Wiseman, who was traded, then Moody Kuminga. We were watching Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome, and people were defending that. And now this year, you needed some of the youngsters. They're just not ready to play at that level. And that's okay, because youngsters, which is why I'm so intrigued with OKC to see how far they go. How much does inexperience matter in the playoffs? We're about to find out.
Keegan Murray is not the Keegan Murray you saw last night without all the run he got last year.
No doubt. Playing through the mistakes.
He was bad in the first couple of games in the playoffs last year and then started to turn it on in that series, even though he was a great rookie. I mean, he was a phenomenal rookie. Well, but the player I saw last night, how different did he look?
So he looked very different. So we're on the Draymond Green and Klay Thompson hype right now. We'll get to the calls in just a second. Here's Steve Kerr on whether or not they want Klay back.
We need Klay back. I mean, he's, you know, his. I know he had a tough night tonight, but what he represents for us, the spacing, you know, we're not a deep shooting team. We're a little top heavy. And, you know, Klay's presence means so much to the spacing on the floor, to the flow of the offense. And he's still got good years left. And I know I speak for everybody in the organization. We want him back. Obviously, there's business at hand, and that has to be addressed with Klay's representatives and, you know, Mike and Joe. But what Klay has meant to this franchise, as good as he still is, we desperately want him back.
Curry, do you think he can still win with this current regime, with this current roster?
I'm talking to Mike and Coach and this league, you never know, man. Like, it's raw right now. Just sitting here, let me figuring out if I want to watch the playoffs or not. On April 16th, I guess it's not familiar. This is unfamiliar territory. So even to answer that question, it's like, I just want to win. Man, whatever that means, I want to win.
And he was asked whether or not he believes they can win with just a little tweak here and there. He also said this.
I can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever. But, you know, we've experienced so much together. And at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win. I know I want to win. And that's all I'm worried about.
I'm a big believer in things have to pencil, meaning there has to be profit, you know? Golden State spent $382 million on this year's team. $382 million. $205 for the salaries, $177 for the penalties.
Well, aren't there some other baked-in costs, too, that's going to take it over $400 million?
Of course. But
they're basically paying over $400 million.
This is the salary. Roster. I'm just going to what they're going to be docked. They will be docked, and they'll have to roll over into next year. Yep. But that's what they spent this year.
I know.
So, like, and I love Steph, and we all appreciate everything. But this thing, and I even heard Draymond allude to this. You know, we make so much money for the teams. Dog, the owner has put his money where his mouth. This is not OKC.
Yeah.
This is not where they, like, hey, they traded away a guy because they don't want to hit the luxury tax. Heck, Jordan did that with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Where he traded away a guy because he didn't want to get over the luxury tax.
Yep.
They spent $382 million on the team this year. And it wasn't even close to being good enough.
And you think Joe Lacob's happy with that?
No.
He's sitting courtside up at
Sacramento. No.
He's sitting courtside. Courtside.
How could you be happy?
I mean, there's got to be changes here. Draymond Green asked how vocal he'll be about bringing Klay back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want Klay back. You know, we've been through a lot. You know, incredible highs, some lows. But the common denominator to both of them is that we've gone through each and every scenario together. You know, it's obvious that we want to continue what we've been doing, but I understand he got a decision to make. He's going to make the best decision for him. Team got a decision to make. They'll make the best decision for the team.
More on that situation. Here's Draymond Green.
I don't think there's any scenario where Klay leaves and that's the best decision for this team and organization. But what I don't doubt is if Joe or Mike or anybody felt that it was best that this team moved forward without Klay, that wouldn't be the decision they make because they believe that. They've shown nothing but respect, loyalty, love, trust to us. So I got no reason to go into it like, oh, man, they're not going to do right by Klay. They did right by me. They've done right by Steph. They've done right by all of us. You know, Klay tore his ACL. They paid him $160 million. So I have no reason to think that our ownership group aren't going to take care of us the way we've taken care of this organization. Like I said, ultimately that decision will be Klay's. But I don't look at it like, oh, man, they're going to only do what's... There's a lot of organizations that will only do what's best for the organization. This ain't one of them.
So that's Draymond, that's Steph, that's Steve Kerr, that's all the key cogs, and if they run it back, boy, it's
you know,
it's not going to be a pretty scene out here.
Trey frustrates me so much because, you know, it's like, you know, they've done right by me. Dog, they've bent over backwards for you. Like, he frustrates me because he's a big part of why they are where they're at. He's a big part of it. And his lack of reading the room of how this organization has, you could call it enabling, I say like just bent over backwards for him in terms of trying to help the guy out on every level and has backed him over and over and over. He just, he lacks the self-awareness and accountability to realize what he's done to kind of screw up the situation at times.
I think
and
does,
no one is saying, you know, it's all him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a big part of it.
But you know what? I do think he realizes what he's done to help put the Warriors in this situation, which is why he's trying to make amends, you know, which is why he's trying to, I don't know. But you're right. I'm looking, man. The last 2 years with Draymond Green has been as frustrating, and it actually starts back to the 19-20 season. And it starts back when Kevin Durant leaves, and we know Klay Thompson's out with a torn ACL, and Draymond Green comes back for a 15-win season and admits that, you know, I knew we weren't going to win many games, so I really didn't play hard. And really, the opposite should have been, and maybe he did this and we don't know about it, but my thought process was like, boy, you get into these games and you're playing next to a rookie in Jordan Poole. You're playing next to a rookie in Eric Paschal. You got Alan Smilagic getting minutes. You have Marquise Chris. Why not just take 10 threes a game and work on your game? Knowing that Steph, Klay, and now we trade for Andrew Wiggins midway through the season. Guess who's going to get wide open shots? I am. Uh-huh. I'm going to be wide open all the time. So you know what? Let me let him fly and extend my career by hitting a three consistently. I would tell the Draymond, shoot all threes like he did against the LA Lakers. Go on 5 of 7. Hell, if you go 4 of 10, guess what, Shasky? I'm not a math major, but that's 40%.
Yes.
And that's a good percentage. He should have worked on his game then. And then you get to play in game. And you get to play a tournament that season, which, you know, you're getting kicked out of games for yelling at James Wiseman on the floor. And we know what happened with that season. And then the whole, I don't get up for games in March, and yada, yada, yada. It's been a roller coaster with Draymond Green the last 5 years on the court. Because what he's done on the court has kept him off the court during pivotal points of this season. And then, you know, you get to Jordan Poole in that situation. They're still, They're still reeling for that. Because I don't know the impact it's had on Andrew Wiggins, who was best friends with Jordan Poole. That locker room dynamic, the youngsters looking at Draymond Green saying, boy, Jordan Poole's our guy. He's got punched. Nothing's happened here. And then we think about this season with the 17 games that he was suspended. It's been a lot with Draymond Green. Does his play, which he still plays at a high level defensively. You saw the play a couple weeks ago against Daniel Gafford. Wow, you step up on Kyrie Irving, you get back, you get the block, you get the steal, you keep possession. He still has that in him. But is his play good enough to overcome everything else that comes with Draymond Green. Is that something that this organization needs to move forward with Draymond Green, knowing that he has three more years left on that deal player option?
Where do you think I stand on that?
I know where you stand on that.
Because I've been on this for a couple years. And like I see the 510 texting in right now. Joe, when they win, Draymond's the best. And when they lose, you hate him. Make up your mind. Draymond is a solid player. To me, the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore. And he could be mad that I say that. That's my opinion. I watch it every night. And he's not a horrible player. No one is saying he's a horrible player. What I'm saying is the totality of the Draymond Green experience is something that I'm ready to opt out of.
It wears out on you.
And I'm exhausted.
But you know what? This happened when we went up to Summer League.
Exactly.
The first day of Summer League, and I told Joe Shasky in the limo, premier limo, shout out to Joe, I may need you in a couple weeks. I need to call you, Steve. not for a limo, just for a car. But I said, I got something cooked up. And this was baked off of Draymond Green sitting down with Kevin Durant. And basically, they're going through the situation that they got involved in. And Draymond basically saying, yeah, that was on Steve and Bob. They blew that situation. They messed that situation up. And we sat back and thought, damn, wait, you're the one who called Kevin Durant a B-word at Staples Center in front of 18,000. What the hell? How is it on Steve and Bob? They didn't know what to do. They suspend you because they're like, we got Kevin Durant miserable. And he's important to this team, very important. We're trying to keep this guy around. And you called him what you called him. You said, we're going to win now. You're not winning without him. Not getting all that. But when you blame that on Steve and Bob, we were sitting here constructing three-team trades, trying to bring in Ben Simmons. So this has been going on for a long, long time.
If you're a young player, right? I mean, you've seen what this culture is like. It's going to be very difficult for a young player. Like you were talking about, who wants to play alongside Steph? Forget the Steph aspect. Just how many young players want to play on a team where, you know, if there are mistakes, there's very little tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a culture of getting screamed at. Obviously, there's some physical stuff. Like, there's just a lot going on, man.
Well,
there's a lot going on. I mean, I don't know. That's why I come back to the same thing. I thought last year was the season, the offseason. If you're going to move off pole, which I was ready to do as well.
And he was ready
fine,
to leave.
Fine. Move off pole, but also move off Draymond. Let's just start fresh and then give Clay an opportunity. This is what I wanted to do. Give Clay an opportunity, see what the year ends up, and we'll go from there. No one is saying that Draymond can't be productive. He can be. Well, what I'm saying is that this organization has enabled him to a degree that I'm ready to see what they look like without him. Because with him, they're the 10 seed.
Well, not only that, but I also wonder with him, is this organization still appealing to attract guys to come here and play for this culture? How do other players look at this culture now, 2 years later after the championship? Do they still think this is an appealing place to play? And that's where I was coming back to Stephen Curry. I wasn't saying that Steph Curry's not great. Steph Curry's not a problem whatsoever. When it comes to cons on the season, Stephen Curry's not on that list.
No, but his production, I think it speaks to the roster.
No doubt. It dipped a little bit. He's got to be great. No matter what the roster looks like, when you get that production from Stephen Curry, it's not going to be good enough to win, especially on this roster.
And he's got to take care of the ball.
We're basically saying the same thing. Fatigue was a problem, but it's baked in. So I'm thinking, but when you come here, it's the Steph Curry cloud, which is a good cloud because Steph's going to endear himself to anybody. He endeared himself to Kevin Durant and said, Kevin, you do you. I'm going to do me. Well, let's win these championships together. Kevin Durant had to tell Steph Curry to be Stephen Curry. That's how open he was to allowing Kevin Durant to come into this club. There was a lot going on there, right? But when you come here, there's also the Draymond Green dimension. And Draymond Green's going to be outspoken in this organization. He's going to speak his piece. I don't know what you do here. I don't know what you do here with that because I don't know how attractive you are to other players outside the NBA. That's what we're getting to here. You're older. You got young guys who are not ready to hit their prime, and you're a 10 seed. How appealing is that? Hell, you may get players saying, you know what? I'd rather go play in Oklahoma City, believe it or not, because I know I have a chance to win. I may go to Dallas with Luka. I may go to Minnesota with Anthony Edwards. I may go to Denver with Nikola Jokic because they're not going anywhere.
But I understand. I understand the push and pull of the Draymond experience. You don't win anything without Draymond. Well, now we're at the inflection point where you didn't win with him.
You didn't want to play in
and
game.
This is back-to-back years. This isn't 1 year sample where he, you know, self-sabotaged and got himself suspended for multiple games. This is 2 years in a row and a variety of acts. So to me, like, it's a CVS report, a receipt of issues of why. Like, if you're going to be the 10 seed, might as well be a cheaper version on the 10 seed.
Listen.
If I'm running
Draymond Green has been very important to this organization. He's been very
pivotal. Yeah, of course.
And he showed his he showed his importance this season when he got back on the floor. They needed Draymond Green. They needed him in the worst way. But moving forward, what is the best course of action to get back to resetting and being the championship contender? Because Joe Lincoln wants to settle for less. He doesn't want to settle for a 10 seed. He's not settling for a first-round exit, let alone a second-round exit. The guy's trying to hang banners. I know Steve Kerr's trying to hang banners. I know Steph Curry's trying to hang banners. Now, what's the best course of action moving forward to try to get back to hanging banners? It seems like they're a long way away from that. But what are the steps to take it to get back in that direction? I don't know, but let's get back out to the lines here. Daniel with Santa Rosa. Daniel, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, how's it going? I know the coaches don't play, but, you know, Steve Kerr's got to call a timeout every now and then. He's even got to take control of Klay Thompson going, you know, 0-for-10. Greg Popovich from San Antonio, he'll bench his starter if he's not playing right. The second thing, the reason why.
Okay, what?
Like, honestly, can we just be classy in how we're going to do this? Like, we can break down things, and we can all have different opinions. We don't have to agree on everything, but, like, really, that's what we're going
to
do.
Friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Oh, yeah, legal. Legal right now?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
9 o'clock.
Fill my mic. Shout out YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First Nerd Company.
Hey.
Upgrade your savings dividend.
I'm imagining.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!